Rob Parsh. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
Into the doctor's office. The doctor tells him you need an operation. The guy says, I want a second opinion. The doctor says, okay, you're ugly too. Boom, boom. Was that funny?
No.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Steven Souza with the Tampa Bay Rays. You're listening right here with the Homemade Broadcast.
CVTS, base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. I'm the host. That's right. I'm the commander of this ship, as they say. Who says that? I don't know. Nobody really, but it's an old expression. Welcome back. Good to be back with you. Steven Souza. Oh, my goodness. I'm never going to be able to use that intro anymore, that little introduction. I'm going to have to go harass some other Rays player to do a little you're listening to thing for me. You got traded when I'm recording this, which is today. We usually record on Wednesdays, and broke today. Steven Souza's out, team MVP for the Rays last year. Headed to Arizona, I think. Arizona's nice. You'll like it out there. It's cool. I mean, not weather-wise. Am I right, guys? So yeah, he's out to Arizona. It was a three-team trade, I believe, with the Yankees were involved. Rays got a few prospects. Orderizzi went this weekend too for the, one of our pitchers. And, Corey Dickerson, I believe that's, yeah, Dickerson got, what do you call that? DFA'd? I don't really know baseball stuff very well. There's a lot of ins and outs with baseball. A lot of terminology to know. I don't understand how they do their rosters. You got AAA. I mean, I know that's minor leagues and stuff, but there's so many different options you can do. But anyway, fire sale for the Rays. Lots of players gone. Lots of prospects coming in, though. You know, a few of those guys end up panning out and play on the team for 15 years. I don't think anybody's going to be upset. But right now, people are really, really upset. All over Twitter, that's all I see is a bunch of people complaining. They weren't good, though, with the team that they had currently. So why not try something new? That's my motto with it. I mean, you're still going to root for them, right? And they can't do much worse than they've been doing the past few years. So, big deal. You know, of course, those guys become members of the community and everything. It's sad to see them go, but it hardly ever happens where players stick with one team for their whole career, especially in baseball with no salary cap and stuff. A guy has a big year, and all of a sudden they're paying him, you know, $200 million. So, it's, you know, it's hard to say, it's hard to blame those guys for, you know, getting money or getting, especially getting traded too. They don't really have anything to do with that. So I know some of the players have expressed, you know, they're upset about it because it feels like they get a good thing going. Look, I get it. Totally understand. I get why people are upset. However, I'm just saying, you know, let's just let it play out. You know, what's done is done, and we will see what happens this year. I think they're going to surprise some people. Now that's probably the kiss of death. Since I said that out loud for them, I think they're going to be better than last year, though, even with all these players gone. Longo's gone. I mean, I think it'll be a good change of pace, though. So how was your week? Good? Great? Mine was okay. Lots of working involved, of course. But I did get some free time on Sunday, and I went back in time. I was transported to another land, a simpler time. The Renaissance. That's right. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival's in town every weekend for like, I don't know, in the next 2 months or something like that. They must have like a few, it must be a year long thing that they just travel around. and go to certain cities and just set up shop for 2 months or something. But super fun. I used to go when I was a kid, and I remember always having a blast at those things. And this time was really not too much different. I had been a couple years ago, and I remember having a good time. This time, you know, it's kind of hokey, but it's fun. And especially if you get a few beers in you. Boy, it gets super fun. So we didn't really do anything, just kind of walked around. One of the things that I did notice, however, is that if your tickets aren't cheap, it's like $20 to get in there. But like inside, like food is not super outrageously priced. And like trinkets, if you want to get like a goofy necklace or something, a dragon claw gripping a marble or something like that, pretty reasonable. It's like $3. I mean, so if you got kids and stuff, and of course they're going to want that. You know, big deal. You can drop $3 on that, and if they wear it for a day, you're definitely going to get the opportunity cost is high there. You're going to get something of value that you can hang on to for a few days and wear and get your $3 out of it. And one of the things I remember, of course, with the Renaissance Fair, turkey legs. Oh, my God. I used to get those all the time. So I couldn't pass that up. I couldn't pass up the opportunity because I haven't had one since I was a little kid. And I decided to get one. And it was good. It's not ideal to be eating a turkey leg, a big old, you know, steroided up leg in the middle of a group of people. You know, it's flu season, and that freaked me out. And, you know, but you just got to put it out of your head. Once you have a few beers in you, too, it gets easier and easier to do that. So I got this turkey leg, started eating it, and out of the corner of my eye, I see a lady. Looks like she listens, looks like a patron of the bone. Let's just put it that way. Looks like she has a lower back tattoo and an ankle tattoo and, there are other kids' names. That's all I'm going to say. Nice lady though. Nothing against her. Just saying, there's a certain demographic that I'm talking about here. And I see her looking and then I hear, oh wow, that looks good. And I turn to her and I go, it is good. And she goes, yeah. And I go, mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, yeah. And then I like to mess with people. It's fun. So I jokingly stuck out my turkey leg and said, you want some? And she, no thanks. No, I appreciate it. But no thanks. I go, okay, your loss. And then she went, well, okay, yeah, if you don't mind, I'll have a little bit. And I said, hell, yeah. So I proceeded to rip a piece off my turkey leg. You know, not from the part I was biting off of, other side. And I went to go hand it to her. She goes, what are you doing? And I go, what's that? And she goes, to go grab a piece off herself with her hands. And I went, no, you're not doing that. And she went, well, I don't want your hands in my turkey leg. And I went, what? I don't want your hands in my turkey leg. Do you see the dilemma we're in now? And she goes, oh, yeah, I gotcha. Okay. All right, well, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Yeah, sorry, stranger that I don't know. I'm not going to let you dig your dirty fingernails into my $8 turkey leg. I mean, that's insane, right? I'm definitely not wrong here. And then I had a buddy ask me, he goes, well, now, given the opportunity here, if you had to choose, I understand that, you know, you would ideally just rip off a piece, but would you rather her take a bite out of your turkey leg, or rip a piece off with her finger? Those are your two options, only two options. To which I stated, I think I would rather have her bite off of it than to take a dig her nails into it and take a piece off. There's no water. I mean, it's all porta potties out there. It's dusty as hell. You're completely filthy by the time you leave there. It's just built on a dirt patch. So dust is just blowing around. You're filthy, dirty. You know, you can't wash your hands. There's no, you know, Purell in the Renaissance, okay? So, no, I'm not going to have her dig her hands into there. She's wiping herself or whatever she's doing. Touching everything in general is disgusting. So, yeah, that was an awkward interaction I had there. But overall, anyways, Renaissance Festival, super fun. Make sure you go out and check it out. This week on the show, we have a comedian formerly known as Ali. I believe that's what he's going by now. And Zach Townsend, good old reliable occasional co-host of this show, is back. So they wrote, they got this thing called Zebra Corner. I'm going to let Ali, you know, tell you about it so I don't get anything wrong. But they've had a few viral videos now. They have this guy named Mock that's a Boston dude that they create some spoof videos for. And Zach helped write on one of these things that went viral over the weekend. It's got over 1 million views on YouTube. I'm going to link it up on the HMB Radio Facebook. So get over there, facebook.com/HM, as in Michael, B, as in boy, radio, all one word. And you can check it out there. I'll link it in there. And HMBradio.com, of course. So, yeah, we're going to talk about going viral. And Business Insider picked up the story, picked up the video, and wrote a little story on it. And Zach will probably just insult me, as he tends to do, and I'll, you know, get jaw back at him. Should be good. So before we get to that, though, I do want to say thank you to our sponsors, Tap House 61, Tap House, number 6 and number 1, .com, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. Make sure you check them out. They got trivia on Wednesday nights. That's always a big hit. So get out there and check out their Facebook to see what other events they got coming up. They got music. They got, you know, bunch of stuff. So check it out, facebook.com/taphouse6and1, okay? That's all you got to do. And True V Salon and Spa, that's T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, right here in St. Petersburg. Make an appointment, truevsalonandspa.com, and then you can get your hair did, and you look good, you feel good. And you can get Botox if you want. Take whatever wrinkles anywhere you want. I don't think there's a limitation of where they'll put it. So don't take that from me, of course. You'll want to get permission and ask the question yourself, because I'm just not comfortable asking that. But, you know, if you got a little bit of wrinkles you're ashamed of, then let the Botox lady take them out. Anywhere on your body. All right, let's talk to Ali and Zach, shall we? This week on the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete.
I just like, it's Ali, you know, Muhammad Ali's not so scary, so Ali.
Speak for yourself. So you guys, and Zach included now, as part of the Zebra Corner, is it? How would you describe it? I kind of describe it as a parody collective. Almost, but how would you
describe
it?
Sketch comedy collective, yes. I want to say it's less sketch right now, but it's something I want it more to be, sketch comedy. But right now it is commercial parody.
Okay, I got you. So this character developed named Mock, and he is a Boston native, I take it.
Yes.
And that's where he's kind of the focus of these things, and then you kind of wrote jokes around this fella. Is that correct?
It actually all started, that character came the night of filming. We had no, it, like, the script, it, there was no script, that one. It was a Deal Dash commercial.
It's like this show.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Deal Dash?
I'm not.
Okay, well, it's a commercial, and it was, like, the first real people commercial I ever seen. And some dude in the mall is like, are you interested in a phone? And the lady's like, yeah, I really am. And I was like, what if one of us was in it and it was just like, no, I'm not interested. Leave me alone. And so basically that night we're like, okay, well, what's it going to be? Well, are you going to do like a voice or something? He's like, I'll just do a he only knew two accents. It was a Boston accent and Australian. So like we went with the
yeah,
the Boston.
Thank God.
Yeah. Well, mate. Well, yeah.
Have you thought about like branching that character out and having him become an Australian version?
No. We're sticking
it's
with
just
the
Mock, the, yes. The Boston
yeah,
guy.
Or
like
yeah.
You should do like a Boston guy doing an Australian accent. That could be pretty cool.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Oh,
just
trying to think how that would
even
go right
now. I don't know if that would just blow his brain.
Oh mate. No,
yeah.
No. Chevy.
So where did you, when did you guys start Zebra Corner?
It was, I want to say 2015, late 2015. No, it was 2 years ago. Let's say 2 years ago.
And where did you guys meet?
I've known him ever since high school graduation party, actually. We met and, we smoked like the biggest freaking blunt you've ever seen. And then we were friends ever since.
That's how to do it.
Yeah,
that's really a bonding
yeah,
type of experience.
Yeah.
Once you get like a certain level of like high or just messed up with somebody, you're like, we kind of have to be friends.
We're
now.
Family now, man.
Or you just hate each other.
Or you're like, that guy. Yeah. Or you keep him on because you're like, I don't remember exactly what I told him, so I'm going to keep this guy on my side.
Yeah.
Just so they don't start asking me, where are the bodies, man?
Zach, I don't even think I said you were here. Zach Townsend.
Yeah, what the heck?
Well, Zach, you got hooked up with Zebra Corner recently. And there was a video that you helped write some jokes for that went freaking viral. I saw it on the front page of Reddit.
You guys have ones that are like way more viral than that. That's crazy.
You know what? The term viral right now, it used to be like, that's not even viral.
Yeah.
Viral now is like a billion views. Gangnam style. You know, that's viral.
Yeah.
Like, 2 million now is nothing.
But that's a lot. I mean, a million is a lot for an outfit that just got started.
Yeah, it's quite the change from doing stand up in a room full of 8 people. You know, like,
tell me about it. I literally did that last night. Actually, I went up first, so there was like 40 people there. But I was like,
and then it was eight
after me, after I walked, 32 of them.
Cool.
So you used to do comedy in St. Pete and Tampa and all that?
It was mostly Panay. You know what? I started actually at Tampa Improv, but I hated, like, I never wanted to do that whole driving thing, like the road comedy.
Oh, it stinks.
I don't want to do that either.
I don't
That's going to be your life.
I'm just going to be a writer. People always ask me, like, why do you do stand-up if you want to be a writer? It's like, because that's why. It's a platform to get into writing, yeah.
I was lucky enough to skip that.
Well, you did the right thing, which is you just started a thing. You started making videos. You knew how to edit. You knew how to shoot a video. And how did you pick up that talent? Did you just start doing it?
Well, my background is film. I went to film school. So,
oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. And my work, actually, I worked a lot with, I worked for an engineer company. I was a videographer. And I worked a lot with green screen. So we got to show off these machines and stuff. And I was, at the time we were watching that commercial, I was like, dude, I can put you in this commercial. It's so easy. And the inspiration was actually old, hacky Billy Crystal at the Oscars. Yeah, I don't know if you ever remember.
Billy Crystal used
to host the Oscars back then. It was all da 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 da. You know, but one cool thing he did was actually superimpose himself into like movies and kind of like make it a comedic. You know, that was his bit or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, that always stuck with me, and I was like, oh man, that would always be cool. You know, and so we're not the. You have to be like the first to do something usually to get big. We weren't actually the first, but we did it good.
Yeah, what was the first video you guys did?
First video we did was called The Radical Muslim, and it was like, it's a white guy and then me, and it was like, oh, is he radical or is he radical, bro? It was scary, man.
And that was 2015.
Yeah, I want to say 2015, yes, late 2015.
Did that video get the
of pop? No, I got like 30 views.
Any rude comments?
No, you know what? One comment said, this is so stupid. Subscribed. I was like, yes.
Nice.
So that was like, okay, got to continue. And then the next one was the Deal Dash one. And then that got like 3,000. We're like, this is it, bro.
Yeah.
Quitting my job.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you don't get any money for that for YouTube.
Yeah, 3, I looked it up because I was like, what's a million plays? And it's like $100 or something.
Yeah.
It's really not that much.
Yeah, it's like $1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's like $10 an
article. $10.
$10 an article.
Well, YouTube takes like 40%?
They take 45%.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's wild.
They take 45%.
I get it that, you know, they're the host of the platform, but it's just
they've made enough money.
I know.
Money needed.
They're spreading the wealth.
There should be some reasonable fee for that. I would even say, like, even 25%. Okay. Fair enough.
Uh-huh.
But 45, that just seems unreasonable.
And we actually, there's these things called multi-channel networks. YouTube, basically, they're leeches. And what they do is they just, any popular videos, they'll email them and be like, hey, why don't you join our global network full of YouTubers?
Right.
And we actually did 10% they take. Why? They handle all the merch, so we don't deal with T-shirts. They do all the logos, graphics, stuff like that. Like, so I won't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So take 10%, deal with the T-shirts. I don't care. But that's...
Yeah, that could be worth it. See, that seems reasonable. 10% seems
10%, yeah.
Fine. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess potentially if you're getting a billion views, that could be a lot of dough.
Yeah.
But some of these guys, it hurt my feelings. I was looking up. I didn't know who that Logan Paul guy was. Oh, do you know who he is?
Yeah, I found out, like, you know, when the incident happened or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I didn't really know who he was.
Went to
I looked him up, and I was like.
It hurt me inside, because I'm like, why didn't I start doing this, you know? Not that I have the skill of Logan Paul, for God's sakes, but he's making, I think it said he's making $100,000 a Facebook post, $30,000 for an Instagram post, and he pulls in a whopping $15 million a year just from YouTube alone.
To make you feel better, his views are children.
Yeah.
They're children.
I don't care where they come from.
Sometimes I'm like, would I switch places with it? I'm too self-aware to do that, do what he does. Like, I'm too, like, no way would I ever.
You wouldn't sing so well.
I don't think I could sell out, like, that hard where I would want to do, like, he's the worst, dude.
I wonder if these guys, too, got in so early that they made their money, but now it seems like they make it so difficult for creators to make any sort of profit. What's the point of putting it on the platform if you're really not going to potentially make money doing it?
Right. Yes. What he actually makes a lot of money on is merch also. Those kids, hey, mom, can I get a sweater? You know, also sponsors is a big part. They'll pay $50,000 just to do a Dollar Shave Club.
Right.
Or something like that. Jeez. Not me, though. No.
Well, I mean, that I'm sure that'll come at some point.
We have offers. We do sponsors and stuff, and I'd say the most we ever got was $6,000-$7,000.
Still really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like the total sellout. Like, hey,
it's not enough to quit your
Dollar
job,
Shave yeah. Club.
Mom's gonna be like, oh, I love this
I love Dollar Shave Club.
They're pointing at their beards.
Yeah,
right now,
yeah, they were right.
Yeah,
radio.
That's a joke there, but. Yeah, man. So
MeUndies, you should do MeUndies.
Yeah.
You ever see Bill Burr's MeUndies?
I gotta get those. I like those.
I actually own some. I bought them because of Bill Burr's ad.
Wow.
And they are every bit as advertised.
Terrific. Wow.
I wouldn't want to wear any other underwear.
Are you sponsored by MeUndies?
I am not. Okay. This is a full-fledged what I believe in my heart.
That's
feeling
right there, boy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Although I do want to try the Mac Weldon's now.
I'm commando if that. I'm going commando right now if that lets you know where my sponsor is.
I was wondering what that smell was. Yeah. So Zebra Corner started 2015. What was your first big video that everything started to pop?
It was the third video we did, and that was the Chevy commercial. It was a Chevy emoji commercial where the host is like, everyone's sitting in a chair, all these real people, and they're like, give us an emoji to describe what you think about this vehicle. And I was like, man, this is gold.
Yeah.
This is perfect. This is so easy. And so we just wrote a couple jokes for it. And the poop emoji was always like, that's got to be the obvious freaking thing at the end. And it was so obvious, but people still liked it.
Yeah.
And that was the one that it went on the front page of Reddit first and then trending. And then it was like 3 million views, 4 million.
It's so crazy, like, what pops and what doesn't, because there are so many videos that go up every day of people that have, you know, great ideas, I'm sure, that just get lost in the
abyss. It's all luck. I feel like it's a lot of luck.
It's not all luck, but
no,
it is.
No, it's not all luck.
It is a big part of it. And I say that all the time, never discount luck, and some people think that I'm, like, dogging talent or something like that, which is not the case at all. You have to have some sort of talent, certainly.
If that person doesn't see you at that right time, if that person on Reddit didn't see us at the right time to post that at that moment, that would have never happened, you know?
Yeah.
That would have died. Someone else would have put a crappier title, and it wouldn't have hit as well.
Right.
You know, they say I was reading a mock, actually. He reads all these, or Audible. He audibles all these self-help books. And he's reading this one, or not reading, but listening to this one where he's talking about life is all a matter of circumstance. Luck, basically. Most famous people, it's all a matter of circumstance.
Yeah.
And
Jews.
Yeah.
Having a Jew on your team definitely helps. I know from experience.
And he was just so bummed out, man. Like, I can't read this book. And I was like, give me that book. This is my kind of book. That's a realist book there, boy.
So what was the reaction when you got when that Chevy video popped on Reddit and all of a sudden you're getting Twitter followers and people are coming in, visiting the website? Like, what was your next step? Did you have a plan after that?
People were contacting us. And we're like, oh, my God, this is it, baby. We did it.
Part two, part three.
Quit my job.
30 views, 3,000, 3 million.
But like, so what was the question again? Sorry.
Like, what was the next plan after you got excited? Yeah. Like, they were like, okay, what do we do?
And stuff. And a lot of people, these MCNs, multi-channel networks I told you about, they're contacting us, come to our team, come to our team. We're like, why even join one of these things? And then it was like, people were like, oh, do t-shirts. Ah, do a Patreon. They'll give you free money. We're like, there's all these different things about it. It became about, oh, okay, how do we monetize this? That was the next step, basically. Mm-hmm. How do we make money off of this?
Yeah, yeah. That's the idea.
And we still haven't figured it out.
Yeah. It's tough.
That's
it's
the age-old question.
Yeah, it's always that.
You have a giant head start, though, as far as other people. Third video.
Pop. That video was like, oh, we have an audience now. Let's not mess this up.
Yeah, no, you got to be super picky. Yeah.
Now we got to be more careful.
I almost think it's easier, though, because if you have a video like that, it pops, because then it's like, well, people like you already, so they're going to be...
Yeah, it's totally easier.
People, I was reading the comments on the videos and all your guys' videos. Like, you guys have, like, a legit fan base.
Oh, they suck our, like, things so hard.
They love that character so much.
Yeah, they do.
And it's so funny.
It's like the voice of the common jerk, you know?
And that's, like, the best part, because, like, just write it is, like, that makes writing for him so easy.
Yeah.
Because I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, you're a jerk.
Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle. Yeah.
We're all jerks, and it really translates well to that character.
But it doesn't sound as, like, charming coming from me.
I would never hang out with him. I would never hang out with Mock in real life. I would never. I mean, like, that guy's, like, I feel like he takes... Jerk, you know, we're subtle, you know, with our jerkness.
Yeah.
He's like total. Like, or we just, you know, in your,
he's all out.
Yeah.
In front of a bar of people who didn't even know we're going to be there.
Yeah.
So have you thought about bringing this maybe, you know, you're doing YouTube videos maybe to like a stage of some kind?
No.
Doing some
not
kind of
yet.
Show? No.
I mean, like, you know, Mock Live at the Apollo. Yeah, yeah. Boo! Hey!
Hey, what?
No, I mean, like, I pictured it in my head, like, what it would be and stuff, but. It would just, I want just, it looks lame to me. In my head, it's all lame. Like,
Well, you know what I noticed with like
$120 a ticket. So.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, like, it looks lame, like, to people like us, but at the same time, if somebody was like, well, here's a check for this amount, you're like, oh, okay. Actually, it's not that lame anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What I noticed too about, you know, it seems like a lot of stand up now is going towards, like, Chappelle's new ones. I like them. I thought they were good. But it sounded like he was doing a podcast. It sounded like he was talking to himself.
Oh, yeah. He's got his foot on the freaking speaker.
Yeah,
you know,
but he can do that.
With his vape pen. Hey, baby, listen to what I'm saying.
With his jewel.
It's cool, man. It's like bringing him into your home.
Hey, make sure you talk right now.
There's, but like, there's people like Gerard Carmichael. You ever heard him?
Yes.
We were talking about
him
last night, and his first special, and he's like, it was his first special. He just kind of just did premises, and he just like, didn't have any pun. It's, I'm not like, I think he's funny, like, and I think he's good, but I'm just like, come on, there were, like, where's like the Attell? Like, where's the Geraldo's, like the punchline set, you know? It's people, they're just talking.
I was very much like that when I did, and I was like, very much premise, setup, punchline. Give it. You know,
yeah,
like,
I won't go on stage and try to work.
To you.
When people say, like, oh, I'm going to go on stage and, like, work this out. Like, the only way I'll do that is if I have a joke and then I have, like, three tags in my head. I'm not going to be like,
yes,
hey, what do you guys think about flying cars?
Yeah, it's for like, sure.
Do you
look around the room.
Do you think that has anything to do with people trying to change the art form a little bit, do something newer?
No.
Rather than messing with a set, like, you know, there's a setup for jokes, so there's a pretty clear roadmap to what's funny and how to make stuff funny, but they're like, maybe I'll try to figure something else out, and that's like part of the art.
You know what? Not for me, but I guess some people. Yeah, sure. You're trying to figure it out on stage. I'm riffing, man. I'm riffing.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like that's improv right there. And I don't know if you guys ever been to an improv show,
horrific.
But they're terrible.
Yeah, they're really
okay.
Bad.
Okay? They're terrible.
Yeah, they're
not
horrific.
An improv
I don't want to – improv is like – improv. That's improv. A stand-up is you've written those jokes down. You're ready to tell that audience.
There's an influx of improvers, improv comedy people who do stand-up now. And it's just as exciting as I just made it sound in my tone of my voice.
I'm so frustrated with this with the people, most of the people in the comedy scene now. It's hysterical. With
I was I was telling him, like, every time, I feel like every time we talk, me and you talk, we just trash the stand up scene and people just hate.
It's really bad. I saw, now this person's not around anymore, but it was, they moved up to the Northwest, Portland area, and they posted a picture of a, somebody wrote a swastika in snow with a heart around it. Clearly, satire, right? I mean, you're a comedian. You should be able to pick this stuff out. But her, the response was, can you believe this freaking Portland, man? I tell you what. It's like, you think Nazis are in Portland, Oregon? Maybe the most progressive town in the world?
That's what they want you to.
Yeah, I don't get it. They, like, want this to be true so bad. And there wasn't, like, any sort of, like, oh, wow. I mean, clear, it's in a heart, for God's sakes. It's unreal, and there's so many of this.
Hiding in plain sight in Portland.
Cam came back. You said you talked to him, and he was saying, like, you can't say certain things in Los Angeles. Yeah,
he just came back from L.A., and he was, like, saying, like, man, don't take the freedom of speech you have with guys down here for granted, because I guess anything in L.A., just if somebody doesn't like it, you can just get X'd from even showing up there.
Can you imagine?
The PC.
Just, you'll be exiled because you made a joke. About some group.
I think you said
some
example. I think like I was like half listening because I really don't care what Cam has to say. But, one of the things he said something was like he called like he has a joke where he calls his girlfriend a biatch, and I guess a lot of people didn't like
that was too much.
That was too much.
Too much.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like you dirty. It was like
where do you think you are?
Yeah, I know.
I had I saw one of the dudes, one of the local guys, do a joke about calling his dog a bitch, and a lady got upset. She had pink dreadlocks, and she walked out and cursed him out. I think she was probably intoxicated, maybe didn't hear that it was in fact an actual bitch, the definition or something.
Hold on.
But she stormed out of there, screamed and yelled, and I just went, thank God, because I used to do open mics, put on open mics and stuff.
I'm done. The one with the stage that's on.
Yeah.
You got the ladder match going.
That's actually where I met you the first time. You were recording Kyle.
Yeah. Nice. How's that? Is it still going?
Oh, no.
Okay.
It did. We did the 2-year celebration. I think it was 2000.
2 years?
It was 2 years we had that open mic going. Yeah, I know, right?
Those things don't last more than 3 months, baby.
I felt like that was an accomplishment.
That is accomplishment. You must have actually like promoted and stuff.
Yeah, I did.
A lot of people don't know how to do.
So we had that, and then the next week, he goes, yeah, we're done. So we celebrated the 2 years. But they ended up, like, rebranding and, you know.
You know what the problem is?
Classy joint now.
Really?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Very fancy.
Feels like the problem with that is, like, a lot of these open mics, you know, you get the same comedians coming, and they tell the same jokes over and over again.
Yes.
And then the person comes and is like, I saw that. I saw that last week, man. I saw that the week before.
That was probably my main complaint, I would say, from friends of mine that would stop by, and I was like, you know, it's an open
How'd
mic.
I do?
Yeah.
How'd I do, well, man?
You did the same as last year when I saw you do the same 5 minutes.
See, I don't really mind. It doesn't really bother me too much because it's more of a hobby for those people than actual, like, trying to do something with it. They just like to go, they like to make people laugh, and they know, like, this has worked in the past, I'm gonna do it again.
Dude, I'm just so over the whole stand-up scene. Like, and there's just people that go to these things, and they just, that's their friend group. That's their only friend group.
Does it piss you off?
And it's so annoying, and, like, I get it, because, like, the bartenders would be like, these comics come here, and, like, dude, there was, like, 40 comics at the mic last night, signed up. That's 40 comics, 5 minutes a piece. That's
what mic?
Iberian and Rooster. And
yeah, that one's popping.
40
off.
Comics.
Yeah, that's the one. Like all these improv people show up at, and they run until they don't close till 3. So they let these guys. They start at 10 and they literally go till 3 every week.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And there's at the end, it's the most pitiful thing.
Yeah.
But
don't you hate to be that last guy? Have you ever been the last guy?
Actually, that's where you want to go. Because they do a $50 cash prize at the end. So. At the end, it's literally the last 3 to 7 comics.
Whoever's left?
Yeah, I go up, I go there, and I've been like the first comic, because nobody ever signs up first. I'm like, I'll bomb, I'll tell these new jokes, I don't care, like you guys aren't gonna affect me. So I've just signed up like the last 4 weeks in a row, just leave immediately after.
Can you imagine though having to hang out?
Going up first and then being like, going up first and being like, I think I had a pretty good set. I'm gonna hang around for the next
5 hours.
3 days to see if I get $50.
2 packs later outside.
So why did you stop doing comedy?
There's a lot of reasons.
Well, I mean, you're doing comedy, but not doing stand-up comedy.
Right? There are several reasons. I don't think I liked the person I was becoming. Cause, once you, get into that, like, lifestyle, it's like a lot of bad stuff comes with it.
Dangerous, yeah.
A lot of bad stuff comes with it.
Always at a bar.
Alcoholic, smoking cigs, yeah. Freaking.
I took it very seriously. Like, open mics, a show, I would puke before every time I went up.
Really?
Every time, I would puke. It was like, for me, it was like, when I got on stage, it was like, this is my chance to prove I'm funny. You know, it's do or die, you know? And then I'd see other comics get up and be like, see, I got some stuff I'm working on. You got some stuff you're working on?
Yeah. So taking out like,
I guess I'll go to my notebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking out with a wet napkin. Yeah. He has stuff written on. He's like, let's see.
I took it and, I'm working on that, like, taking stuff so seriously when I'm, like, doing it. But, like, I took it too seriously. Like, even if it's like the first day of school and it's like, go ahead and tell us your name and tell us a little bit about yourself. I would be like, I got a set list going in my head to make people laugh, you know? And I was never, like, class clown or anything like that. I was with my friends or whatever. I'd make them laugh. And then, like, if I was sitting in the class, it'd be, like, the dude sitting next to me, and I'd make the joke. And then the dude would take my joke and be like, and then the whole class would laugh. I'd be like, that was my joke.
But he did it so well.
I wish I had that timing down.
The
presentation.
I had a friend, that was literally me, but like that was me in like fifth grade, like fourth and fifth grade. I was super shy and I got this one kid, Michael Blodgett, and like I thought we were friends and I would tell him and I would make him laugh and then he would say it and dude, and then like I went into middle school and I was like, I don't care if I get in trouble anymore. This is my year.
Michael Blodgett, you are so funny. What? I'm his writer.
Yeah. I'm his ghost writer, man. He's only paying me $10 an article. What the heck?
Another reason was Steve Baird, who is a local comedian here forever, 20 years, doing hilarious comedy here, died, and it kind of hurt because it was like this dude. One of the funniest dudes I've ever known, and no one outside the Bay Area comedy scene knows who he is.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like narcissistic. I wanted a bigger stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like,
that makes sense, yeah.
I wanted like, okay.
I just want success.
Yeah.
Like not like discrediting him, but like I know exactly what you mean.
And I don't have the patience for stand up. Like they say it's like 10,000 hours to become great at something.
Yeah.
I ain't 10,000.
Yeah.
Especially on open mics.
Yeah. Especially if I'm doing 5-minute sets.
Yeah.
You know how long that is?
In my sets where I always did like topical jokes, like, hey, what's in the news today? You know, like, and so my 5-minute sets, I had to change like every time I went to open mic. And it was very hard for me. To build that 15 minutes.
I hate that because I'm the same way. I love writing topical jokes. And I hate that, like, I wish, like, I had a joke about the NFL when they were beating their wives and they were beating their kids. Like, everything was going out. Like, it was in October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I was like, yeah, like, the NFL, everything's pink in the NFL. Like, the helmets, the gloves, the cleats, except for the wives and kids. They're still black and blue. And I hate that I can't do that joke anymore.
Yeah, it's because I'll be like,
now it's like 3 years later.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, guys, remember a couple years back when a couple players got in trouble?
Well, you got 31 days in October, man.
Yeah, but I got this hope that, like, some NFL players slip up.
For me, it's like, hey, guys, remember Casey Anthony? You know?
So what's the plan with Zebra Corner? Ideally, like, what's in the future? What are you trying to do?
Well, I've always wanted to be like, you know, pretentious director, you know, like make that movie boy.
You know,
I was
Tommy Wiseau.
As a kid,
Oh, hi, Mark. Oh, hi, Mark. That's what you should do. Yeah. Oh, hi, Mark on the rooftop.
Speak English.
What the heck do you say? Is this guy Australian? Oh, this guy a vampire? What the?
I mean, I've always made like videos since I was a little kid. Like when I was a little kid, I used to go in the backyard and make like fake buildings and put fireworks in them and blow them up with my dad's huge VHS recorder. Mm-hmm. And like,
I don't know, you scared me when you said your dad and like, your ethnicity. Yeah, like a bazooka.
Yeah, so like in high school, I was in the TV production and I got trouble for making videos there, you know, that were too risque. And in college, I made videos that like got awards and stuff. So I was like, okay, there's something there. But I like comedy, and I always wanted to, you know, I love, like, my favorite movies are, like, Airplane and Zucker and Abraham's movies, Hot Shots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mel Brooks, these silly movies, man.
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, yeah.
Caddyshack. I just rewatched that the other day.
Yeah, so good.
Dangerfield is the, I have to ask you, because you're into, like, movies, and, well, you can even answer this. Who cares about you?
Thanks.
Though. But this kid I got into an argument with, he's my old roommate, and he said, his argument is there's, what I took from it, he said, I think there's three people in this world. People who watch Caddyshack and think Rodney Dangerfield's the funniest person in that movie, Bill Murray's the funniest person in that movie, or Chevy Chase is the funniest person in that movie.
Oh, you know what, Dan? That's hard, dude.
I think it's an easy answer.
I'm actually, for
it's
me,
Dangerfield.
Yeah, for me, I was going to say Dangerfield, then Chevy, then Bill Murray for me.
Yeah.
I love Chevy's asshole attitude in that.
Yeah.
You know,
we got into a huge fight.
Are you on drugs? You know?
He's like, no, Chevy Chase is the funniest person. This. We're screaming at each other in the living
room.
Wow. Like,
so it wasn't
no
even
way.
Bill Murray. I thought he was going to.
No, yeah.
He was a Bill Murray guy.
No, I don't know.
Well, his character was kind of doofy. I mean, they're all separate characters. Dangerfield was the verbose, old, rich. Just kind of like white trash.
But he's doing like jokes too, where you kind of got to think about it, yeah. Which I love.
Well,
he's
it
like,
was Donald Trump, pretty
when
much.
You come with a bowl of soup.
Yeah.
He was Donald Trump in that movie. That's pretty much what he was. And then, you know.
Hey, Wang.
Yeah, and part two. Let's not forget about part two, guys.
Oh, please, let's forget about part two. Sweet Jesus. That was brutal. So, anyways, before we go, what's next for Zebra Corner?
Right now we're just basically using it as a platform for our comedy. We want to, you know, right now we're kind of stuck with that mock character. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's
yeah.
Like
well, it's your bread and butter.
Yeah,
man.
It is.
Yeah.
It
but
is.
You want to branch out, maybe get
yeah,
other characters?
Yeah, you know, more sketch, more, you know, more bring more comedians in from the Tampa comedy scene. So
nope.
I know y'all dick's getting hard
nope.
Right now.
Please don't.
you know, but I kind of like eventually want to get into. You know, it's weird because we've had offers like the Velocity Network contacted us. They want Mock to be the new host of Car Soup.
No way.
Car Soup.
It's like Talk Soup.
Like Talk Soup
yeah,
with Joe McHale.
Okay. Car Soup.
Uh-huh.
We had a deep conversation about that. At first he's like, yeah, this is it. We did it. I'm like, this is you want to do
that's
this
it?
Every
yeah.
day? Like every day you're going to have to look at car stuff and come up with car jokes.
Yeah.
And that's going to be your life. We have something building here.
Yeah.
We can do whatever we want under Zebra Corner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can build this brand up, you know? This stupid
comedy. With this
Well, that's the Workaholics
YouTube.
Guy. The Workaholics guys
yeah,
did
yeah.
the same thing.
They started on YouTube, so did Derek Comedy, Donald Glover.
Yeah.
They started mm-hmm. with Derek Comedy.
Bo Burnham.
Bo Burnham's
an exception. I'm Workaholics guys, like their story, cause I'm into, you know, this just as much as, that's like what I want to do, like behind the scenes writing. I don't want to be in front of the microphone. I want to do stand up on the back burner.
You know
but
what?
Always write.
That's good of you because a lot of comedians want to be the center of attention.
That's so
a
annoying.
Lot of times, I mean, we're all narcissistic. We all want to be the one, you know,
yeah.
We all want to be, but sometimes it's better to be like helping each other and create something more.
Yeah.
Well, if you get the recipe right, if you get the same, a certain mix of people together,
yes.
Magic can happen.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do because it's going to be exciting to
yeah.
watch. It's good to see somebody from the Tampa Bay area kind of not only do something that's getting attention, but having the possibility to do it on your own. And,
sure.
You know, kind of the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
So. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. Where can people find you on online?
YouTube.com/ZebraCorner. Twitter, Instagram. I'm actually Mock. @I'm_Mock, M-A-H-K. Or you can find me at @Comedian_Ali. So, but I'm both. So.
There you go.
Psych.
So either way.
Zach, where can people get you?
At Smack Townsend or at SBC College. I was
crying in the corner.
27-year-old in intermediate math.
Dude, I did the same thing. Man.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. All right. Thanks, Ali.
All right. See you.
All right. There you go. Ali from Zebra Corner. Check it out. Some funny stuff on there. And many good things upcoming, I'm sure, for that guy. Those guys, Mock. Ali, Zach. Thanks for listening to Homemade Broadcast this week, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. It's super easy. Just go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Search HMB Radio, all one word, Hotel Mike Bravo Radio, Tampa Bay. It'll pop right up for you there on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever the heck you're subscribing. Check out HMBRadio.com. Leave a voicemail or text for the show, 813-693-2124. Make sure you stay tuned on Radio St. Pete if you're listening there. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next. Indie Circuit after that if it's a Sunday evening. And tune in to The Bone, 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay, or TheBoneOnline.com for Stay Woke, midnight to 1 a.m. It's myself and I co-host for Anna Hummel, and it's a good time. We have fun over there. This is The Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. My name is Will Kuntz. I hope you have a terrific week, a nice weekend, a remainder, and stay positive. Stay strong. I love you, and I want you to succeed. Okay. On that note, goodbye. Get bent. See ya. Thank you.